Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and worship you and just receive from you the things that you would like us to know. We thank you for your scripture, how you teach us there. And Lord, we just give you all this service. We give you each thing that's spoken. I pray you'd anoint me that I'd only speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be received, open to receive the word. And so, God, we just pray a blessing on our time here. And also, a lot of people traveling over the summer, I pray a covering, protection for them, that would be safe. And so, God, we just trust you in that. So, God, I pray that you just anoint me to speak from the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Title of the message is Spiritual Leaders. Let's look at Hebrews 13:7. It says this: remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, this is interesting. We look at this. In my opinion, this is not an issue in the church. Our church. Maybe global church. But it's just not an issue in our church. And if I had my way and I'm preaching through things in Scripture, I'd just skip it. You know, I just wouldn't. I don't see it. It's not an issue. And so I wouldn't see the necessity of it. However, when you're preaching through Hebrews, this is the next verse. And so I've learned, you know, here and before, that the Lord doesn't like me skipping verses. No, so you're going to get the message anyway, whether I think you need it or not. Okay, so when you look at this, I'm saying from my heart, I don't see this an issue within this church at all. Linda and I just love everybody to death and totally convinced you love us to death, and so we're happy. Okay, just happy. Now, but the thing of it is, when you look at this, it's biblical. It's a biblical principle, and not only is it a biblical principle, it's a biblical principle throughout the New Testament. I mean, it's reinforced and restated, and so the whole idea of church leaders and spiritual leaders is covered, you know, a good bit in the Scripture, and it really, you know, is important. So there's a reason. And also, you know, sometimes you talk and you come across people, maybe they're trying to deal with things that, you know, spiritual leaders or church leaders, it's good to be able to come alongside and share some things with them. So it's good for us to know. It's a good information to know and to be aware, because it enables us to minister to other people also. So, but as we look at this, very interesting is the Lord has really laid out this, I'll put heavy, I don't know if it's heavy, but doctrine in the first 12 chapters of Hebrews. I mean, it really is. I think we'd all look back on that and say, oh my goodness. I mean, the depth of what is being taught in this particular book, and of course also the Bible, we see it very interesting. Now, after sharing chapters 1 through 12, now he says this. You know, he makes a point here. He makes a point here. You need to remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Now, God has, biblically, God has ordained spiritual leaders, church leaders, to shepherd and oversee his church. That's a fact, okay? There's a lot of churches, you know, and I'm not picking on anybody, but they have congregational rule, you know, like that. I just want, this is not biblical. It's just not, you know. And so, the Bible really, you know, points out specifically, he has ordained people to oversee the church and to shepherd the church. And so he sees it's important. And then we should know that, no, God has called people to do this. He has called people to do this. He hasn't called everyone to do this, but he has called people to do this. And if we look, and God lists some qualifications. Now, I'm just going to cover what's written here, but God lists qualifications, you know, for church leaders in 1 Timothy and Titus. You know, good bit is written there about them that you can look. And here, though, what's interesting is that God tells us to continue to remember the leaders who have spoken the word of God to us. So that tells you somebody shared something with you. Okay? And he says, you remember those that have shared the word of God to you. You remember those who are sharing the word of God. And it's very interesting, this word remember, when you look in the original language, it has this sense of keep on remembering. Keep on remembering. So it's just like, don't forget it. Remember what they shared. Keep on remembering these leaders who spoke the word of God. That's the criteria. They spoke the word of God. And so he's telling us here that there's value in remembering human agencies whose main characteristic is teaching the word of God. Okay? And, you know, when you think, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to teach. God just talks to me, you know. Well, the Lord goes, now that's not how it works. You know, yeah, God speaks to you. God tells you. God, but you're in a body that comes together, that loves Christ, that has leaders over it, has leaders, okay? So it means, in connection with God speaking to you and in the body and the leaders, there's a consistency here. There's a consistency here. Now, we think the great Apostle Paul, and, you know, theological giant, wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. And in every book, I think, almost he wrote, he talks about, and he appointed leaders. And he appointed elders. And he appointed elders. Always. He'd write the letters back, and he'd write to the elders. You know, and so you have this dynamic that God has laid out within his church, and his church as a whole. And so the human agencies are important. The human agencies are important. And two, it's interesting when you look at this, and I've taught on authorities and stuff before in years past, and most of the time when you teach on authorities, you bring to light the bad ones. It's like, these are the bad ones, and this is why they're bad, and this is what you got to watch out for, and they're controlling, and da-da-da-da-da, which is unfortunately all true. But that's not what this is talking about. Doesn't even address it. Doesn't even address it here. And so in these particular verses, so he says, no, you need to remember these human agencies who teach the word of God. Okay, this is, you know, not a charismatic personality, not XYZ, not this, not he. No, they teach the word of God. That's their identifying factor, you know, that he's speaking to us here. And, you know, it's indicating that he anoints people to speak the word. You know, I've heard people say, just share, and they'll say, well, I went to this church, and the guy never opened the Bible and never mentioned Jesus. Okay, he's talking about, you know, that. We're talking, God, I wouldn't go to that church because he's not preaching the word of God, and he didn't open the Bible. I wouldn't do it, you know. I mean, the criteria, we'd say, well, this is not, he might be good and sharing principles and, you know, a good speaker, but this is not who God's talking about. I can even say in a church function, he didn't even ordain them to do this. You know, it's like, well, this guy, he built a church, he's so charismatic, you know, and he just kind of a lot of self-help, and you go, I don't know this is a church that God built. It's a good organization. It does good and has kind of Christian wrappings. But this is not what this verse is talking about. So, and again, take this personal. It's like a choice you have to make. Who preached the word of God to you? Who preached the word of God to you that made an impact? Now, he said, This is also, if you notice here, it's past tense. He means the ones who have previously spoken the word of God to you. Remember them. Remember them. I mean, it's like you could go whatever thing, XYZ church or XYZ person or whatever, and change the dynamic, and you're there for a season, and then you go to another church where hopefully they're teaching the word of God. But you never forget where you came from. Never forget who God used, you know, to introduce you. So he goes, don't forget those people, you know. And you kind of get the feeling God says, I had my sovereign hand in touching you in the first place. They had, this story just comes to mind about a human agency. A guy I knew, and you remember, I talk about Bill Wright all the time. You know, how he, well, the guy that discipled Bill Wright, and I've told you this before, I knew the guy who discipled Bill Wright. And he was a Chinese guy, ethnic Chinese guy. And, well, the whole story, it's just fascinating, an ethnic Chinese guy. And so he's in China, and he's a Buddhist. He's a Buddhist, okay? Well, what happened, Japan invaded China, if you want to go back to World War II. So he was there, and he goes, and this is his words. He goes, I looked at this, and he says, I cannot meditate my way out of this. You know, when the Japanese invade China, you know, you kind of make this ain't working. So anyway, he escaped, and he kind of was dabbling in all sorts of things, and said he really liked, this is his word. He said he liked, really liked Christians, kind of really the doctrine. That he liked, take this back, he liked Christianity and the doctrine, but he didn't like the people. The doctrine was okay, but just didn't care for the people. All right. So he didn't give me any details about that, but sharing about it. And so he goes before the Lord. I guess he's still someplace in China, whatever. And he went before the Lord, and he says, God, I'm seeking you with my whole heart. I'm seeking you with my whole heart. I don't know. There's things about Christianity I like, but I just don't see it. With my whole heart, I'm seeking you. Well, in this time, now this is in China, okay? This time, someone knocks on his door. Someone knocks on your door, and he opens the door. This Chinese guy. He opens the door, and it's an Englishman from England. It's an Englishman, you know? Now, if you look back and want some history, the English, and a lot of that, they had a lot of missionaries in China. England was sending, you know, missionaries to China. England used to be a powerful missionary sending country. Powerful. They said flags never set on the English flag. I mean, yes, the sun never set on the English flag. Sun never set. And it was a powerful missionary sending country around the world. Well, they had in China. Okay, just throw that in for 2 cents. So he knocked on the door. And Frank J. he knocked on the door. He says, said his name. He's an Englishman. Said this Englishman came through the door. And he says, I am looking for Frank Jean. And he said, I'm Frank Jean. He goes, okay, God sent me to tell you about Jesus Christ. And would you let me in? He said, yes. He let him in. And he led him to Christ. He led him to Christ, that Englishman, and prayed. And he prayed to receive. He explained the gospel to him, went, said, God's made, never seen this guy before in your life, and prayed with him to receive Christ. Okay? And he said, God told him to go to a place, and there'll be a man there named Frank Jean, and you're to share the gospel with him. And that's what he told him. Now, that happened, by the way, in the book of Acts. They told Peter. Peter said, hey, Peter, and Peter, God bless him, gave him 3 visions, and he still didn't want to go. And then he goes to see this guy. He goes, you know, I'm not supposed, I always love this. He walks in this guy's house, room, and he says, you know, I'm not supposed to be here. Yuck, you know. But God told me to be here. And he shared the gospel, and the Holy Spirit fell on him. So, I mean, it's consistent with Scripture, right? happened there. So it just happened to Frank James. So he's seeking. So bottom line, he told him, God told him to send him. There, shared the gospel. He came to know Christ. Thus Bill Wright, thus me. You know what I mean? You know, Philip, you know, hearing God, this Englishman heard God, Frank Jean heard God from the Englishman, Bill Wright heard God. He tells me how to hear God. So it's amazing how these things work. Well, the point of it is that human agency was central in Frank Jean's life. The human agency. Same gospel, but he used a person to share it, and he spoke specifically to that person. Now, you can just meet somebody in the thing and, hey, and share the gospel. You don't have to have God speak to you. In fact, God tells you to share the gospel every time you get a chance. But the whole, why do I make this up? It says, remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Frank Jean never forgot that. And he shared it. It's been reshared, and I'm sharing it again. It's important, and it's important to remember because it's the essence of the truth and the reality of Christ. Okay, so that's a big story to go back to this talking to us. You're here for some reason. Somebody said something to you somewhere along the line. So, remember the human agencies. God appoints church leaders. God appoints spiritual leaders. Calls them, ordains them. Now, so there's a value in remembering these human agencies. Now, also, it says here, along with their teaching, we are to take special note of the outcome of their way of life. The words connected to their life. What they say is connected to their life. A spiritual leader's life should be a visual expression of Christ, which we should observe and model. Oh. Says it, does he believe it? Says it, does he act it out? That's what he's saying. That's what this verse is. Remember them. There's something about their life that communicated to you that you could believe them, that you should believe them. You see? There's something connected to the life. That's what he's saying right here. And so they should be an. And again, we're not talking about perfection and God can float in on the cloud and float out on the cloud. We're humans. We're people. But there's the element of walking out in their humanness and living this out before Christ. They're living out what God has told them. They preach the word, and then their life is reflection that they believe it, and they're living it out. Amen. And you got to, you know, what it's saying here, a leader, unfortunately, and this is true, it says, you know, a leader's lifestyle will either confirm or disqualify their ministry. Your life is going to confirm, and again, that doesn't mean you're perfect. You know, even Paul and Barnabas, did you know they like got in a fist fight? No, they didn't fist fight. They got in an argument, intense argument, got mad. And just left, you know, went off. And you got your ministry, I got my ministry, and I hope I won't ever see you before Jesus comes back. And they're both preaching Jesus. Now, that actually happened. That actually happened. Okay. And the thing they're arguing, they're actually arguing over Mark. They're arguing over Mark. You know, because he went with them on a trip with Barnabas, and he just wimped out. He's a young guy. He's, I'm tired of this. You know, I'm going home. He left out. Really ticked Paul off. Barnabas just gave him another chance. He ain't coming with me. No, you can't depend on this kid to do nothing. Fight. See, but Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, you know. So, okay, we understand here, but still the lifestyle. Oh, one of the last books Paul wrote, he said, be sure and send Mark to me. He's a great benefit. So they made up. They kissed and made up, I don't know, somewhere along the line. But Oh, something else you find out when you read it. Now, this explains a lot. Mark was Barnabas' cousin. See, you keep messing with family, you know. He didn't like his cousin. What are you talking about? My family. Your family don't even come close to my family. See? I mean, anyway. Just little tidbits you can learn. But the point of it is, Paul wrote 3/4 New Testament, called Mark back. They made up, you know. Mark, in his spare time, wrote the book of Mark. I mean, so it, everything kind of works out. Now, so, but the point of it is, leader's lifestyle should reflect what he believes. Now, he's telling people, the congregation and everybody, you can't overlook the lifestyle. Well, you know, I know he gets drunk every Saturday night, but, you know, we just got to give him that grace. No, you don't. You don't give him that grace. You do not give him that grace. Sorry, I can't go where you're going. This is a lifestyle. Can't be a part of it. That's biblical. Okay, but you see the point here. Okay, the point back here, all they're saying right here, all it's saying right here, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I see what he's saying. I see what they're saying. And I'm going to imitate what them. We're not talking about, you know, I share a lot about hearing God and, you know, in the scripture about how to hear God. And Bill Wright, I could see in him things of Christ, you know, and I was learning from him, but I couldn't understand. And it was, I can't hear the way you're hearing. I hear what you're saying, but I can't get there. And so I'm looking, I'm spending time with him, a lot of time with him. You know, I can remember right where we were, Glade and Reston, Glade Avenue in our townhouse. And I said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what you're saying. And he, in his non-empathetic way, said, look, read here, Luke 24:31. Weren't our hearts burning within us when God opened the scriptures? That's it. Do that. You understand? Oh my gosh. I imitated him. See? And I have something I never saw. And I imitated him, changed my entire life because I heard it. And he is able to explain, and I imitated him. And evidently, as far as I know, he's still walking with Jesus. All right, see. But you see what I'm saying? That's all this is saying. This is all this is saying right here. But we go into this thing, you know, as believers, wide-eyed, understanding the situation, and it's just, you know, there's a reason why we do what we do. There's an understanding. We don't just do it, you know, like that. So I repeat, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. I don't understand how you do this. I want to know. Anyway, so now this comes when we look at this on spiritual leaders. We know because God loves us and he ordains leaders that he will give us people that will speak the word to us, like Frank Jean. Ain't nobody here. So he gives him somebody. You know, so it's God's responsibility to bring somebody across our path. So God will provide spirituals like the paragons in chapter 11, who are people of faith and have remained true to their convictions through all the difficulties of life. So he's given us a picture of chapter 11, the people of faith. So he's now coming here and he says, so you kind of got an idea what these people look like. And then he's telling us they're still hanging out. They didn't end in chapter 11. They're still hanging out. People have talked to you. People have shared with you. And again, They're people of faith. And again, they remain true to their convictions through all the difficulties of life. Now, this is the reason I personally think you shouldn't be followers of a TV evangelist. You don't have a clue who they are. Maybe they're right on the money. But you don't know these people. You don't know who they are. See, you need to know who these people are. You need somehow, some way, evidence, right? But you need to know who these people are. Now, so these leaders, and these leaders also have a characteristics, have a characteristic, and they will continually point us to Jesus. They'll continue point us to Jesus. You know, one thing that what Jesus did was point people to Him. But what everybody else did all the time was to point people to Jesus. So these are people that you point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. They point you to Jesus. I know of two situations. You know, it's interesting. I share these stories with you. I never think of these stories when I'm doing the message. They just come here. So I'm enjoying it. I don't know if you are. I don't even know if God wants us to say it. But these leaders will point you to Jesus. I remember, this is fascinating. I share this with you. Okay. I had read the Bible one time. We're in Los Angeles. Our son is like 4. At that time, in Los Angeles, up in San Francisco, Jim Jones starting his church. You remember the guy, went to Guyana and everybody committed suicide? He was in San Francisco then, all right? And I remember the guy that's on the newscast that went there when he did go to Guyana, went there, and he got killed. He's a big newscaster in Los Angeles. I remember this guy. Okay, so you remember kind of this stuff. I didn't know what was going on. But so he come on television, so this guy was making news, and he's just kind of wild, crazy guy, and he had this huge following. I think the church is in San Francisco, I can't remember. Huge following, and then he started getting in trouble, you know, with the government or something, and so he was claiming God did this and God did that, you know. Now, I read the Bible one time and never been to church. Okay, that's it, like that. So I'm listening. I said, well, that's interesting, kind of something seemed off color. But what did it for me? What did it for me? And this is true. I mean, they have a video of this. When it happened, I saw this. He held up his Bible. He shook it. He says, don't listen to this. Threw it on the floor. Stomped on it. He says, you listen to me. I said, this guy here, I'm not doing it. And so, knowing you wouldn't shoot anymore, you know, so I want to protect my family. And so I take Mitch out. He's 4. And so 4 years old, and we sat on the thing, and I told him, I said, listen, this Bible, is that anybody ever tells you this is not the truth, you never believe them. Mitch, you believe it? I believe in this. I'm 4 years old. I tell you, I'll never. Oh, by the way, he still says he's scarred from that experience. Totally scarred him. But the point of it, remember your leaders. You know, this guy, the one thing that kind of, that I came to know Christ is reading the scriptures. And for him to throw up and stomp on, and you don't listen to, this happened. You believe me, not what the scripture. Also, there's a pastor in this area that I know, won't say his name, held up the Bible and says, you don't pay attention to this, you listen to me. I think he's still around. See? I mean, brothers and sisters, that's when you get out of Dodge. It's like, whoa, brother. I mean, I wouldn't even wait till the end of the message if somebody does that. But it all comes back to this, okay. These leaders who spoke the word of God to you, they definitely want you to read the word of God. They spoke the word of God to you, and they point you to Jesus. They point you to the words. That's what anybody who teaches the Word of God, they point you to the Word of God and they point you to Jesus. That's just what they do. And then you see them, they've had all sorts of difficulties in their life, but they persevere. They don't give up. They persevere. We had a friend of ours, and we just saw him about a month ago, and they were with us when Linda and I first came to know, first went to the church and came to the Lord, dear people. And so we hadn't seen them in 20 some odd years, and they came by and met us. And I just, God bless them, they've just been through hell and back. I mean, they just hadn't had an easy life, you know. They just didn't have nothing, and we knew them, and they still don't have nothing. They just had heart. I mean, just one thing after another. And so we're walking, it was a wonderful meeting with them. And she walked out, and she says, you know, everything that happened, we never turned from Jesus. We never turned from Jesus. See, that was the kind of people it is. Those kind of people. Yeah, you just don't turn from Jesus. That's, well, I'm perfect, I did it. No, you just didn't turn from Jesus, no matter how bad it got. It really got bad for them. Well, this is what this is talking about. This is what it's talking about. And so he's at the end of Hebrews, he's saying, oh, you got all this stuff in your head. But this, you're going to have, you need some leaders, you know. Remember the leaders that told you, and be around leaders that continue to tell you that God has ordained and anointed. And you can, again, immediately, do they point you to Jesus? Do they point you to the Word of God? And as far as you can tell, are they walking what they say? Are they walking what they say? So, this goes into Hebrews 13, 17. This, we go from 7 to 17, but still on leaders. It's talking about leaders. And it says, remember these leaders. Hebrews 13, 17a, the first part of it. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over your souls. And it's literally, some of your Bible says your life, the word is soul. Because they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account to God. Lordy be. Lordy be. Because you have confidence in these leaders. You submit to their authority because they have a job. They keep watch over your souls. And they must give an account for what they did. We should trust and submit our spiritual leaders' authority because they keep watch over our souls. God ordained spiritual leaders, church leaders, have a responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the church body. It's like, hey, high five. Every Sunday, everybody's happy. It's one of you got more than a high five going here. You're responsible. It's like, you're going to have to give an account to everything you say to them. I'm not, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So, God ordained leaders, church leaders, have the responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the church body. Church leaders are concerned for the deep needs of the people, not simply for what lies on the surface. Their oversight deals with matters of the heart and one's relationship with Jesus. The fact is, these spiritual leaders, church leaders, really should be concerned about what they do, because what the spiritual leader does, they'll be held accountable to God. See, in this, it's just, we're accountable to Jesus one-on-one and like that. Amen? That's good.
And God says, Wallace, you're accountable. Amen. He says, you're also accountable for everybody else. That's what he's saying here. He says, you're accountable for everybody else. I said, well, really? Really? And that's what it's saying here. You give an account. You give an account. Now, so a church leader should be concerned, you know, of what he says and what he does. Now, what's interesting, when you look at this and what God's telling us. Now, remember, he gave us Hebrews 1 through 12. We're not just sitting here and don't know nothing. Everybody is on the same page, okay? So he's saying, okay, you need to make this assessment based on what you know. Now, if a spiritual leader does not share the truth of the Word of God with those in which he has spiritual oversight, if he doesn't share, if I don't share the Word of God with those that I have spiritual oversight, if I don't share the Word of God, when they sin, he will be held accountable for their sins. Y'all better be nice. I mean, that's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. He is saying, here, you keep watch over their soul, and you share, you care, and you share the truth. And if you don't share the truth and they do wrong, I'm going to hold you accountable. So preach the word. If you don't, I'm going to hold you accountable. Now, there's something very interesting here. And people, this doesn't mean that you come along and make someone do something. That doesn't work. No. Each person has their relationship with the Lord. And the Lord will lead them. And you help and walk along and help them come to the Lord as the Lord leads them. You understand? You don't implement that. That's a legalistic, controlling, nutso church that does that. But what you do, you always tell the truth. You always say the truth. You always share the truth. See? If you don't, and then when you share the truth, y'all kind of released to do what you want to do because you're accountable to God, you know. But if I don't tell you the truth, and you sin and do something wrong, I'm accountable. God says, I'm accountable if I don't share the truth. And it's like, goodness. Now, where you see this, which is fascinating. Now, again, what we have to back up and we look at this. God has a reason to put this, to tell us this now. I mean, he wants us all to know this. Now, But again, this is throughout Scripture. This is throughout Scripture. It's just more clear right here. See, this same accountability was required in Ezekiel, where the spiritual leaders were called watchmen. And so the same accountability is in Ezekiel, okay, and for the watchmen or the spiritual leaders. And in fact, look at this, Ezekiel 33:6. Same principle, same thing. Ezekiel 33:6. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. What's the watchman for? You're supposed to tell everybody. You're supposed to share. And if you don't, you're accountable. You know. Now, I suppose that, it doesn't say it here, but I suppose the other side's true. Like you do a good job and share, and God will come down and say, attaboy. You know, I assume there's an attaboy in there. Okay, if you tell the truth. But why do you share the truth? Because you're concerned about people's souls. You're concerned about their life. You want them to do well. See, you're concerned. And it says you keep watch, you're concerned about that. And that you are so also held an account to what you tell them or don't tell them. See? So, as you see in Ezekiel, which clearly states it. Now, in the New Testament, you know, I think as we look at this, we can learn to appreciate appreciate from God's point of view the dynamic of the church and how he looks at it. He cares for it. There's a dynamic that he's involved in caring for the church. Individual churches, church universal, but individual churches. Because each church, there's church leaders. And then, by the way, if you're a leader in this church, you go to XYZ church, you don't have that same leadership. Because he called you this church. See? As if some pastor came in and said, I'm pastor at XYZ church, and I'm going to share something this morning. Not happening. Not happening. Because I'm responsible to share it here. You know? So you see the dynamic here. So in the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul communicate the same church leadership responsibilities. Paul just repeats it again, same responsibilities. Now listen closely to everything Paul says here. This is a description of New Testament spiritual leaders, church leaders. This is what they look like. Paul is a church leader over these churches. And Paul's a church leader. He's telling these leaders about their responsibility to the churches. So that's where this conversation's going. I've told you, you're responsible for these, okay? So here's the conversation. This is a great one to kind of meditate on. I didn't put an overhead here, but just listen closely. And it's Acts 20, verses 26 through 28. Acts 20, verses 26 through 28. And you know, at this time, Paul's establishing the foundation of these churches. He's establishing it. Okay? Now listen to this. Apostle Paul says, therefore, I've been talking to you guys, therefore, I declare you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. I think he must have read Ezekiel 33:6. Right? I think he read Ezekiel, because he said, man, you don't blow the trumpet. You're responsible for their blood. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. I mean, he could have used any word there. Why'd he use the blood? I mean, Lord, I'm innocent of the blood, because there is a horrific damage and destruction when you don't share the truth that causes one's demise, you know, short-lived life or not coming to Christ. He says, no, you understand. You're shedding their blood if you don't share the truth. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of any of you. You know, I told you. Verse 27 says this, for I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God. Why is he innocent of the blood? Why is he innocent of the blood? Why? Because he shared the whole will of God. I told you everything. I told you everything, see? And then he says this, you keep watch over yourselves and the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You see what's being said there. You just didn't do this. God made you overseers. And the people I want you to have oversight, I brought to you. See, I'm in this. I'm in this, all right? Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You know, I guess in our little church here, somehow God made us have a little connection. I mean, he just saw somehow that see fit that we have this connection. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Then it says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Jesus bought it with his blood, and you take care of it, or I'm going to hold you responsible for their blood. That's what he's saying, you know. So take this serious. Take this really, really serious.
See, church leadership has great responsibility, and with it, serious accountability. Great responsibility and serious accountability. You know, I always share with you, my gifting is a teacher, you know, to a lot of, you know, maybe wish it wasn't so much of a teacher. I used to get under our kids and they'd tell her, whatever you have to say, say it in 25 words or less. Yes. Anyway, teachers tend to talk too long. But look at James 3 has another insightful thing about leadership here. James 3:1. I have overhead for this one. James 3:1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Just watch what you say. That's one of the reasons, like if I, you know, get off on my tangents, I want to let you know. This is just me bloviating, you know. You know, this is kind of entertainment purposes, you know. Because I don't want to say, I don't want you ever to read it as thus saith the Lord, you know. Not because I don't want to mislead you, but I think the Lord would kill me on the spot, you know. So I have a different motivation. All right. So you'll be judged. You shouldn't want to become teachers. You shouldn't want to become teachers, because you'll be judged more strictly. See, spiritual leaders, church leaders, keep watch over your souls. Therefore, you should submit to their authority, knowing they must give an account to God for their ministry. We should recognize the responsibility. I mean, this is a lesson. We should recognize the responsibility of our spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders should recognize the responsibility of spiritual leaders. Now, as far as you at BCC, you guys have overachieved. You just overachieved. You know, it's not an issue. It's just not an issue. And then you have here in Hebrews 13:17b, the last part of Hebrews 13:17. Here's an overhead. And it says, okay, you know, you are to remember them and, you know, to submit to them. And it says here, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Be a joy, not a burden to the church leaders, because they take joy in overseeing the body of Christ, the church. That's fine. Church leaders are the ones who take joy over the body of Christ. There's a guy, Linda and I, we went, it's kind of vacation time deal, and we stayed, and this guy stayed beside us. Well, he's a retired pastor. Neat guy, you know, he's just a neat guy, but he's retired. And I talked to him, and it's like, I don't want to say he hated the church, but he saw the church as just the biggest pain in his life. I mean, he didn't say one joyful thing about it. I was there 20 years. Finally could retire. You couldn't get him to do nothing. You couldn't get the leadership to do nothing. I got the guy, he's come, and you could minister at this church. He's not been through that. I ain't going in that again. And that's the truth, I think. Man, he just flat didn't like it. Now, I don't know what happened. I didn't carry on much conversation with him, but just listen to him, you know. And it's like, the guy disliked the church, you know. And when I say this, he disliked the people. it's amazing to this guy, you know. So the whole thing, and I certainly don't have any of those thoughts, but, you know, it should be the church should be a joy, not a burden to church leaders, you know, because church leaders should take joy in overseeing the body of Christ. I love this, and I'll speak this verse from my heart because I believe it and I feel it reflects me, but there's no overhead here, but in 3 John verse 4, no chapters in 3 John, just Okay, 3 John verse 4, it says this. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, my spiritual children, are walking in the truth. I know more, and I can say amen. That is no greater joy to see the ones that I've had been able to speak to see them walking in the church. Truth, see them walking in the truth. It does me great joy to see God working in them, hearing Him, moving, going deep, you know, in different ways of their life. It's a joy. It really is a joy to me, and the way it should be. Again, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The Apostle Paul said, don't I have overhead here? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:20, he goes, you are our glory and our joy. The people. He goes, you are our joy and our glory. So, okay, we sum up this. Here's a thus saith the Lord. Sum up, I'm being facetious. Thus saith the Lord. The congregation should not make the church leader's life miserable. I just had to write that down. I've marked through this twice, but I think it's just too funny. No. Anyway, that congregation should not make a church leader's life miserable. Now, seriously, they must recognize the responsibility that lies on the shoulders of spiritual leaders. But there's a two-way. Some spiritual leaders are kind of flippant, you know, not recognizing their responsibility. So the spiritual leader should certainly recognize his responsibility. But the congregation should. That's the point. The point of this thing is the congregation should recognize the responsibility that lies on the shoulders of spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders are servants of Christ. That's there, servants of Christ. And so we ended up like this, the way God has presented it to us and what we hold dear. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him and should not perish, but have eternal life. And we learned last week, He told His disciples, He says, go love each other like I loved you. See, it's just this one thing. So hallelujah, y'all make me happy. I was happy to come in here this morning. I just preached this message because I had to. I didn't want to be accountable to God for skipping something. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love and goodness. And Lord, we do lay everything before You. God, and we know, I know each one of us have people in our lives that have touched us and spoken to us with the word of truth that has just been a joy. Through, I'm sure, coming to know You or times of turmoil, whatever. And we thank You. We thank You for that, God. And so I do pray that You'd continue to bring those people across each of our paths that speak Your word clearly, and we praise You for that. And Lord, I do ask before everyone here, Lord, that I would never, never misrepresent the word of God, and I preach it clearly as it is, with not adding or subtracting anything to it. So we give thanks to You, and we praise Your holy name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.